Hey everybody, welcome into the VolQuest.com mini podcast. Tennessee, a 23-17 winner over Florida here at Neyland Stadium for the fifth win of the season and the second overtime win of Josh Heupel's career here at Tennessee. This podcast is brought to you each week by our friends over at GBO Snacks, the official licensed snack of Tennessee Athletics. Whether you're hungry at work, on a road trip, or just need a little pick-me-up, GBO Snacks are the perfect choice to satisfy the Rocky Top craving. The Vols bars are made of toasted oats, almonds, 100% real chocolate, and just the right amount of protein to satisfy that afternoon hunger. Pick up some GBO snacks today. You're contributing to UT Athletics in the process. Go to gbosnacks.com. That is gbosnacks.com. Go Big Orange. Okay. Austin, I think first and foremost, before we get into the hardcore analytics and analysis and all that, I mean, you just beat Florida. That's something that should happen because you were a two-touchdown favorite. But that's not something that happens in this series. You just beat Florida for the second time at home in as many tries. These series, these games always get wacky. There's a lot to correct. Trust me, we know. But a win's a win. You don't apologize for it. And you're 5-1 and moving on to Bama.
Yeah, you don't apologize for it, Brent. And, listen, we've sat through a lot of the alternative for the last 20 years. And so I'm, as everybody, keeps mentioning to me as I'm down the field or at whatever after the game, I'm like, it beats the alternative. Yep. It beats the alternative of losing. And, last week wasn't a good feeling for Tennessee fans or Tennessee players or Tennessee coaches. And tonight, they come out on the good end of a 6-point win. And, they do have to correct a lot of things, but guess what? I'm not sure anybody's just some outstanding team. I mean, Ole Miss had a cake schedule. They're two losses halfway through the season. Tennessee's sitting here at 5-1. They play Alabama next week. If you find a way to beat an Alabama team that lost to Vanderbilt and barely hung on to beat South Carolina at home, then you're kind of right where you probably thought you'd be at the beginning of the season. So, 1 week season next week. Just, we got a week to figure out the tide. But in this one, a lot of mistakes to correct, and we'll break it all down right here.
Winning's hard. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's hard. And you don't ever take for granted winning. And I'm not going to run through every Florida game that Tennessee should have won that you didn't. But there's a couple of Hail Marys. You blew a 9-0 lead here to a backup quarterback under Butch Jones' first or second year they played. So
2014, yeah.
You don't take it for granted. Okay, and I will say this. I think the Tennessee players and the coaches were more relieved that they won than happy that they won.
Yeah.
But you take the win and you move on to the next one, put this one behind you. But you've got to learn from it. Mm-hmm. You've got to learn and grow and get better. And it starts on offense and it starts at the quarterback position. That's where they've got to start learning and growing. He's got to play better. They've got to continue to help him in some ways and do some things to make it easier for him, Eric. And then those guys around him have to play better. I mean, think about it. I mean, you had the ball twice inside the 30-yard line, and you fumble it. Then you give up three sacks in a row to take you back to midfield. I mean, you can't have those things happen. You got to get points when you're down there. And there's just a ton that Tennessee has to take from this and grow to get better.
Yeah, and then, you have one – I believe it was back-to-back, Brent, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had James Pierce making a heck of a ball play there on the goal line, stripping that football loose on the Mertz, QB sneak there on the goal line. And what a huge turnover. And then as Tennessee's continuing to move out from that end zone, you have Nico throwing into triple coverage. And it gets picked off.
Yeah, and first of all, going for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 10
–
there's not an analytic in the world that says that to me that's what you're supposed to do.
There's no chart
anywhere on that. So you got away with that one, but then you didn't do anything with it because you turn around and a couple of plays later you just made a bad decision throwing the football in there. Now, you're close. They got guys behind the secondary.
And a couple of those long throws, Brent, we talked about it to Nimrod, to Squirrel. When you're throwing it down the field, the one to Nimrod on the sideline, I think that's more on Nico, of course.
Absolutely.
You absolutely throw that on one Nico. Inside. But, a couple of those long throws down there, you're close. And then, of course, the one to Nimrod over the middle there at the end, sure, it was a fastball, but, good grief, make that catch.
Yeah.
And make that catch.
And listen, he was – I think the thing to tonight in watching Nico and where he's got to – get back to where he was earlier in the year against weaker competition. I think that he is waiting till guys are open instead of throwing guys open. I think the ball's late. I think the ball's late some. It's been behind him some. I mean, he didn't have good stuff tonight is the bottom line. So he's got to go. And listen, I get all the scrutiny of him. I get all the criticism of him. I totally get it. The NIL deal that's public out there, that's only going to heighten that. He's got to go put his blinders on, so to speak, and go to work and continue to get better. I like some things they did with him tonight. I would like for him to do some more of those things.
I agree.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, like we talked about on the 2-minute drill. Like if he hits just a couple of those deep balls, how much more different does it all feel?
Sure.
And you're talking about a couple of them. Now the one where that threw to Nimrod and the ball landed out of bounds, that was not good. But like the deep first deep one to Squirrel and then the deep one to Nimrod in the second half. I mean, you're talking about a yard. And when you're throwing it 55 yards down the field, you're not very far off, right? I mean, like, you know, when Joe was overthrown, he was overthrown by like 15 yards, like, because he had such a cannon. But like, you're talking about minute, you know, the difference between big catch, big gain, and just a big incompletion. So, I mean, you connect on a couple of those next week. How much different does it feel? So, I agree with Heupel that it's not far off, but you can't stare down and throw into triple coverage. That reminded me of NC State. You know, I mean, they just locked in, just threw it, exactly. You know. And the one he threw to Brazel early in the game, a heck of a catch to hang on because he got lit up. Like, that really was not a good throw either, right? I mean, like, you know, so, I mean, again, got to be better, you know, and that's just an area where, you know, as you said, the 2-minute drill, Brent, you got to lean on the defense until you can hopefully figure out the offense.
You're exactly right. That throw early in the football game to Brazel over the middle of the field, I mean, it was – I want to say there were three guys right there, a tight window. I mean, it was an even better catch that he was able to hold on to that.
Do you feel like they're a little bit like last year they couldn't throw it in, they didn't feel comfortable throwing it in the middle of the field. So now you're going to, everything starts in the middle of the field and it goes back out as opposed to getting some outside stuff and then coming back to the middle of the field. It seems to me like everything is kind of numbers to numbers. They're not throwing the ball as much outside the numbers to make it a little easier throw at times.
Yeah, and I mean, again, first play of the game, rolling them out, throwing to the sideline, it looked really good. They did it later in the third quarter, but they didn't do that an awful lot. And I think that's something they should do. I think they were throwing, but you know, over the middle of the field a lot and trying to make that work. And where it kind of goes back to what you said, do some things that help your young quarterback out. Do some things to help your offensive line out that's struggling to pass block.
Yeah, I mean, you had six penalties and four of them were on your offensive line.
How many were on the tackles?
Oh, four.
Four.
Okay. Yeah, they had four tackles.
You had one on Hurd. You had two holding penalties on John Campbell and one personal foul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be better. My thing is this. Like, Lance Hurd hadn't played a whole lot of football in his college career. Let's call it what it is. And so I think you could see growth from him tonight. You know, I mean, he had a couple of moments where you're like, eh. And then, but like on the whole, like, you know, I thought he held up okay. John Campbell, he's played a lot of football. And so the silly penalties and stuff like that, it's just, that's hard to overcome. I mean, I'm surprised they've not given somebody else. Like, I know Dane plays a little bit, you know, to help out John because of his knee, but, you know, I'm surprised they hadn't given Larry Johnson a look, you know, especially like, when they struggled a little bit there in the first half.
I liked Lance Hurd getting up the field. He pulled, he led for Sampson on the 23-yard touchdown run. He made a key block there at about the 5 to kind of spring him a little bit, or the 10 to not spring, to secure that touchdown. I like that a lot. He looks like he's moving in slow motion too much, and maybe that's him. He's got to work through it. Maybe that's, you know, not playing a whole lot of football. I don't know what it is, but I do think he was better tonight, but I think obviously it's still a ways to go.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, that offense across the board's got a ton of things to work on. So it's, you know, it's not all on the tackles. It's not all on the offensive line. It's not all on Nico. There's some receiver things that have to get better.
I thought the running back pass pro was better tonight.
It was better tonight. But, you know, and it's one of those deals where they've got to continue to get better. And I'll say this, Florida just decided we're going to be us. That they did not tweak and start running a bunch of three-man front and play. They did not take the Arkansas game plan and say, hey, we're going to do some of this stuff. We're going to be who we are and do what we do. And in the first half, it worked because Tennessee struggled mightily. But thankfully for Tim Banks's, for Vol fans, Tim Banks's defense did everything they could to keep Tennessee in the game and make that a 3-0 game again at the half when it could have been 17-0 or 20-0.
Well, you went Tennessee defense drop chart first half. You went punt, a lot of field goal, turnover on downs.
After an 11-play drive, by the way.
Fumble at the one, and then you kind of got bailed out there because of the penalty there on the field goal. But, I mean, that is a heck of a first half drive there to keep your team in at 3-0 in the break.
You go back to August, and where was the angst on this football team? Will Brooks, Tim Banks. Those are the guys that are playing the best, right?
I tell you what, Will Brooks is not the worst safety that's playing right now, and it's not by a long shot, in my opinion.
No, and I mean, like, you know, Tim Banks is the reason Tennessee's 5-1. Let's call it what it is. 100%. I mean, like, you know, the only reason Tennessee's 5-1 is Tim Banks. And so, you know, the guy is coaching with no contract.
No, he's under contract for now.
Well, for now, but you know what I mean. Like, it expires at the end of the year.
He's on the last year of his current deal. You're exactly
so
right.
So, I mean, like, you know, kudos to him because, I mean, he's going to capitalize one way or the other at the end of the year.
It was so bad, obviously. Really all night offensively. A lot to correct, all that. But I guess give credit where you want to here in the second half. You come out, you punt, all right, but then you score a touchdown, field goal, punt, touchdown. You know, a couple punts in there, which is not great, and then you score the touchdown in overtime.
You know, I thought they would just try to get it to triple zeros. I was surprised that they came out. They were trying to win the football game. They were trying to put it away, right? Like, I mean, he came out on that one drive and went deep ball, run, punt. But, I mean, like, he was not trying – he was not the Oklahoma game plan of, like, let's – because I don't think they had run it effectively enough where they could just, like, go pick up first downs and milk the clock.
It was the 17 seconds left in Lexington in 2021, go and steal a field goal before the half.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's how it was. I mean, but honestly – I think that's what they need.
Well, I mean, listen, when this offense feels like it's getting some kind of groove, the opening drive, what are they doing? They're playing fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got to play with some tempo, and they've got to get going to get there. They just cannot stay in that as long as they can. But that field goal, that was Arian Carter's field goal and Tim Banks's field goal. That's a 4-play, 3-yard drive field goal that was set up by what Arian Carter did on a really nice play there. So, again, Ricky Gibson, I thought this was by far Boo Carter's best night playing football. He played really well.
Ricky was everywhere.
Ricky made a great play.
McCoy continues to do what Jamal McCoy does.
And look, this is not a great Florida offense and not a great Florida team, okay? So you put everything there, but it was on the Tennessee defense to keep them in the football game, and they found a way to get enough stops to get them there. Now they gave up the touchdown at the end, but you didn't punt it and win field position there, right? I mean, you made a mistake on the last two punts. You gave up way too many punt return yards. That's got to get cleaned up and fixed.
God, that was so bad.
You know, I mean, if you're going to rugby style it away from him, not rugby style it to him on that particular point. But, you know, I thought they did a great job playing field position earlier in the game. In the fourth quarter, you know, they elected to punt it, and Tennessee capitalized on that with a short field. So, you know, they did some things complimentary. And again, we're going to dissect it all week long. I mean, this is clearly not just a quick snap your finger fix for this offense. Mm-hmm. They've got to continue to try to improve, and they've got to continue to explore every way they can to help this offense get into some kind of groove, greater confidence, and those type of things. So we'll see what that looks like. The question about this team as you move forward is how much more are you going to grow? And that growth needs to start tomorrow when you're back in the building and you start getting ready for Alabama coming to Knoxville.
Before we sit through a rewatch and kind of analyze all this, do we think, knowing there is still so much to improve on offensively, I mean, Josh Heupel in postgame come out there and said he's proud of his guys for the win, the resiliency and all that, but you can just tell him, I mean, he was not happy, obviously, because he is an offensive guy and the offense continued to get shut out there in the first half. Do we think the offense looked a little better? There were more explosives in this game. There were more receivers getting open. Still not where you want to be, but did you see any progress offensively from last game to this game?
As crazy as it is, I go back to what we were talking about earlier, was, you know, you're not far off with some of the plays. Now, some of the decisions, Brent's right, holding the ball too long, not throwing them open, waiting until they clear. That's the stuff that, you know, will get you beat against a really good defense. But, yeah, they've just enough flash to give you a little bit of hope. But, again, just enough nonsense and you know, to cause you to lose your hair.
Before we get out of here, we don't know all the specifics yet, obviously. Neither did Josh Heupel. A couple guys got banged up. Biggest one of note, obviously, is Keenan Peely. It did not look good in the first half.
No, it didn't. And you know, we'll see. But that's obviously a difficult injury. That's a tough blow for Tennessee because of everything he brings to the table. Jeremiah Thielander's got to continue to progress. I thought Tennessee played a lot of young players tonight, trying to help hold on, you know, in some depth. And, you know, so we'll see where Peely's, where that injury is with Peely. We'll see how much better Brew and Thornton and Squirrel played a lot tonight, but he obviously got banged up a couple of different times.
I thought he battled.
He did.
He couldn't move his arm or shoulder half the time, and then he'd go over there and work it out, then he'd get back in.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, I give Bryson Easton credit. He played well tonight. Christian Charles, I don't know that anybody really understands how banged up he is and what he's playing through right now with his shoulder. That's the best Christian Charles has played probably in his Tennessee career, but certainly since his freshman year.
He's gotten through it.
He has. And he was productive tonight. He was helpful for Tennessee. And so, you know, there's some guys that are doing some good things, but, you know, you got to continue to grow and continue to develop and, you know, it's a one game deal at a time, and you just watch every week, and it's hard. There's nothing easy about it.
Again, look at Alabama in the last 2 weeks. Lost last week, barely won this week. I know you guys already mentioned this, but I mean, Ole Miss got two losses now. They're done. Okay, Georgia is the second best team in the Southeastern Conference, but we can all agree Georgia does not look as dominant as Georgia's been the last couple of years. Texas is by and large the best team in the conference. It's not close. LSU had an early loss. I mean, there's not one dominant team. So, yeah, again, you roll your eyes, you see how bad the offense looks out there. But at the end of the day, you are 5-1, have a winning record in SEC football. And it's a week-to-week thing because every week's a different challenge.
Well, you asked this earlier. Did you see flashes? Did you see improvement out of the offense? I think there were times that they looked like they were in a rhythm. Let's take the Nico passing game part out. If there's one thing that's a little bit baffling, if you will, it's Tennessee's inability to run the football in the first half.
Yeah.
Last week they couldn't do it. This week they couldn't. They've got to get back to early success in the run game to take some pressure off of the passing game. Mm-hmm. Tennessee ran the ball well in the second half tonight, much better in the second half, but they just didn't run the football effectively well enough in the first half. They've got to run the football better to start games.
For a defense allowed over 300 to Marcel Reed and A&M, for a defense allowed 240 to Jeff Levy and Mississippi State, I'm blown away that Tennessee managed only 143. And it's because of that second half.
And guess what, though? The old tried and true, if you outrush Florida, you have a good chance to win. Outgained them by 5. And I know I'm being kind of sarcastic, but, like, that is for 2 decades, Hubs. How was that stat was –
Oh, it was the stat, but you know, that was a deal where Florida brought their passing attack in and ran the football, you know, and so that was the old tried and true. And again, I mean, most times it does play out that way, and I think that's accurate. Tennessee has to have run game success, particularly right now offensively. That they need early run game success. There's too much, you know. I think Dylan Sampson went to the. I mean, he finished with 100 yards, right?
112.
Yes. What did he have at the half? Did he have 12 yards at
the
half?
No, he had like 19.
At the half, he had 19 yards.
And here's the craziest thing. He's now at 15 touchdowns through 6 games. I think what's the record? 18?
I mean, he's like, I think it's 18. And also
– he's within 9 of tying Gene McKeever for the all-time career leader in rushing touchdowns at Tennessee. In the history of football at Tennessee.
The last play of well, what's kind of funny about this as well – the last play of regulation after Tennessee took his shots, Florida was just like, okay, let's make sure they don't score. He had that, 12, 15-yard run or whatever. I mean, that got him over 100. That got Tennessee over Florida in terms of rushing yards.
Yeah.
That one play where they're kind of like backing up. End of the day, you beat Florida. End of the day, you won. as Josh Heupel kind of said, you enjoy this tonight.
Well, I mean,
but you figure it out on Monday and on Sunday.
I get some of the guys on the board.
Maybe, I get it.
Maybe some of them survived Rob's wrath. Maybe some of them didn't. Some of them were taken out.
Some of them
didn't make it to kickoff. I get their thought process, but I mean, this sure beats sitting here talking about a loss in overtime. I mean, it's just facts. And you know, that's why week-to-week season, I said it a week ago, I thought it was dumb until this current model of football, as Hub said, was like the NFL, is so true. And you just, you know, you get ready for Alabama and see what happens. Again, if you win that one, you get a bye week. You get a bye week to kind of continue to figure it out and get better and get some more wrinkles. And then you get the last five with, you know, back-to-back at home coming out of the bye week.
Boy, is that after seeing all of them in person since 98, there's not a Tennessee fan out there that should apologize for beating Florida on any night, regardless of what it looks like. You can be mad about it. You can be frustrated about it. But at the end of the day, when you go to lay your head on the pillow and go to sleep, there's no way you're looking at that gift horse and going, hey, boys, I don't want that one because it wasn't pretty.
When it was 10 to nothing, I literally said in the press box, I said, Tennessee should just go ahead and forfeit next year's trip to Gainesville, save the gas and the plane fare.
And somebody mentioned this on the board or something. You hope that Graham Mertz is okay. That looked pretty nasty down there. It might be the first time in quite some time getting to a backup quarterback didn't hurt. I mean, he made some plays. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it didn't kill Tennessee.
I mean, again, he can flash kind of like Nico. But guess what? We're kind of one and the same. Nico's a year older. I get it. But like, you know, they flash a little bit and then they make some head scratching plays too. So I mean,
he's going to be better for playing early though.
He is. You're
I'm
right.
Not saying he's going to be better than Nico, but he's going to be better for playing early where Nico really didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you're playing, you know, guys as freshmen, you're going to have maybe some growing pains, but it pays off a year or two down the line.
And he's getting ready to play a lot for Florida in a very brutal schedule. So he's going to take some lumps and some growing pains along the way. Tennessee's got to, they took some lumps and found a way tonight. They just got to grow themselves.
Final score, Tennessee 23-17. Tennessee improves to 5-1 on the season, 2-1 in Southeastern Conference play. And we'll be back right here on Saturday at 3:30.
Day game, baby.
Against Alabama on the third Saturday in October. Big shout out to our friends over at GBO Snacks. Whether you're hungry at work, road trip, or just need a little pick-me-up in the afternoon, GBO Snacks are the perfect choice to satisfy that Rocky Top craving. The ball bars are made from toasted oats, almonds, 100% real chocolate, just amounts of protein to satisfy, again, that afternoon hunger. Go ahead and order yours today. You're going to be supporting UT student-athletes in the process. Visit www.gbosnacks.com. That is gbosnacks.com. Go Big Orange. For Brent Hubbs, Austin Price, I'm Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys, as always, for joining us here on the VolQuest.com mini podcast. Again, final score, Tennessee 23-17 over Florida in overtime.